Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Paul Soglin, who is the former mayor of Madison, Wisconsin, originally elected to the Madison City Council in 1968 while a graduate student. He's also very active in Madison's anti-war protests, chronicled in David Manassas's best-selling book, They Marched Into Sunlight. He served three terms as the city's mayor starting in 1973, another three terms in the 1990s, and he is now the mayor of Madison, Wisconsin again. Welcome to Background Briefing, Paul Soglin.
It's good to be with you.
And the recall effort against Governor Scott Walker has just started in your state. There were substantial demonstrations in front of his home or in his neighborhood, the governor's neighborhood. On Tuesday night, 1,000 people showed up. They were apparently mostly well-behaved, and some of them were quite amusing in their protests. Give us a sense of the latest twists and turns in the political saga, if you will, that's unfolding in Madison largely. I think it's gotten energetic and contentious basically since this governor's been elected.
Well, it has been energized, and I think that's one of the surprises. After the very intense demonstrations from late February through March and April of this year, then we reached a period of quiet. Things tapered down, and there was always this question, what would happen at the time where legally a recall would commence? And the big question was, would the energy, would the interest still be there, or perhaps with the governor having another 4 or 5 months in office, successfully woo the voters and mollify enough people that a recall would fail. At least at this juncture, it appears that this effort is well underway and is fueled with the enthusiasm that we saw in the spring.
But it's a pretty high bar, isn't it? I mean, unlike Ohio, where the governor overreached and was chastened by a referendum that reversed what he'd done, which was very similar to what the governor of your state, Wisconsin's done, I take it that you don't have that mechanism in Wisconsin.
We don't have the mechanism to put the legislation itself on the ballot and to reverse that decision. Our only choice here is really either to wait till the next election or to commence the recall. And at this juncture, it's hard for me to judge what's happening elsewhere in the state, but having been around Madison and Dane County the last 24 hours, there's an awful lot of activity. And it appears that people are signing recall papers at a furious pace.
What is the threshold? There's a limited time.
We've got till early January, and it'll be, the threshold is around 500,000 signatures, somewhere I think north of 450,000.
Some of the reports of the rally in Scott Walker's home district, where 1,000 people attended on Tuesday night, indicated a kind of festive spirit. Are people having house parties to sign the petition?
Well, there is, even to the point where when I have to deal with my responsibility as mayors, we're having a little problems because we've got folks out in the streets, literally physically in the streets, stopping drivers who are honking, getting signatures in traffic, and the safety question comes in there.
It's one thing to drive in and get a hamburger, but I guess you don't have drive-in petition signing.
Well, that's what they're calling it. They're calling it drive-through petitions.
So tell me, again, I'm speaking with Paul Soglin, who is a former mayor of Madison, Wisconsin, and now mayor again, having served a number of times in the 70s and the 90s. And we're talking about the recall petition that has just gotten underway in Wisconsin to recall Governor Scott Walker. He has, of course, no shortage of money. The Koch brothers, and curiously enough, I believe the campaign manager for Herman Cain played a big role in getting not just Governor Walker elected, but he also helped get two congressmen and unseated Russ Feingold as well. Is he something of a figure in your state, Mark Block?
Well, he has been. The work that's been done by a number of groups and individuals, all many of whom are inspired by Grover Norquist, the folks from Americans for Prosperity, the Club for Growth, locally here in the state, the MacGyver Institute. You have to recognize their political skill. I mean, they did an outstanding job in the November 2010 elections, turning the state literally upside down with the Republicans taking control of both houses of the legislature, electing Governor Walker, displacing one of the most loved senators in the history of the state, as well as nationally, Senator Russ Feingold. So this is going to be an incredible challenge. By the way, as we're talking here, I'm looking out the window, and there's two people with petitions, and I think they just they were approached by a half a dozen signatories.
Well, that is encouraging, I guess, for those who want to recall the governor. But he, of course, has unlimited funds, or at least he has substantial funds to fight this. He's already starting a television campaign. The extraordinary thing, though, is that he called a special session of the legislature, which was dubbed Back to Work Wisconsin, to create jobs. And at the top of the agenda, apparently, is gutting the state sex education standards and replacing them with abstinence-only education. So how does abstinence-only create jobs?
Jeez, I don't know. You know, this session is basically a right-wing agenda designed to deregulate decades. I mean, you know, in the most recent session here, they passed a state law dealing with landlords and tenants. What they did is they preempted 40 years of very carefully crafted legislation in Madison dealing with landlord-tenant law. It's gone. Everything we've worked for has disappeared. What did they replace it with? Nothing.
So when he talks jobs, 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 and that's apparently the mantra in these commercials that he's putting out, is there any evidence that there's any effort to create jobs?
Well, it's a broken theory. It's a broken theory of deregulation and a broken theory that if you cut taxes, the wealthy invest in industry and then, you know, obviously they're supposed to create jobs. All the evidence in this country, all the evidence internationally, is that public investment in two things, infrastructure and human capacity, is what provides the incentive that leads to private investment and the creation of jobs. I'll give a very primitive example that I've used in my classes, which is drive down a new highway where they've put in an interchange, and the next week there's a Cracker Barrel restaurant, 2 weeks later there's a gas station, and another year we got a strip mall. I don't particularly like the example, but it makes the point.
So from your point of view, Paul Soglin, as the mayor of Madison, and you've got obviously some history having been mayor before in the 70s and the 90s, what has been the effect of what the governor has done so far, Governor Walker, in terms
of... It's been pretty devastating. From our standpoint, it has moved everything downhill. And by that I mean, when the state started making these cuts, we lost $8 million. It may not sound like a lot. Translating that into layoffs, you know, what does that represent? Maybe 300-400 public employees. Now, we did not lay them off. What we had to do was we had to raise taxes in part. So the governor is cutting taxes at the state level and forcing the cost back onto us. The other thing that's obviously happened is all of our unions have had to renegotiate their contracts, and they've all taken cuts. And let me just focus on what I think is the most important issue in this discussion, and it was what is the big lie. This was all premised on the fact that public employees were receiving too much compensation as it relates to a combination of their health insurance and their retirement benefits. And it is absolutely true that Wisconsin public employees, compared to other states and compared to the private sector, have a greater employer contribution to health insurance and a greater contribution to retirement benefits. The lie is in the omission that these wages and salaries are far lower than comparable states and far lower than comparable private sector jobs. What has gone on in this state for almost six decades now is when there was funds available for increases on an annual basis in the labor negotiations, Wisconsin public employees wisely chose to take the majority of the increase towards payment of their health insurance and retirement rather than their actual salaries for that year.
So give us a sense then of what can be done with if this petition reaches its threshold, and I get the impression from you, Paul Soglin, that things are moving ahead at quite a pace. What happens then?
Here's what we're looking for, and there'll be some dirty tricks along the way. The first thing that'll be done is the signatures will be collected. My guess is somewhere close to 750,000 to even as many as 1 million. In other words, 50% to 100% more than are required will be submitted. Once that is certified, then comes a process by which the governor is going to face a challenger from the Democratic Party and, for that matter, any other party that wishes to run. There will have to be primaries. Now, if there's multiple candidates. So what the Republicans did in the past, we expect them to do in the future, is they will run candidates in the Democratic primary to delay things and to confuse things. They've already done that.
But aren't there three Republican senators as well in being recalled?
There are three Republican senators in districts outside of the Madison area who've been targeted for recall. Petitions are being circulated for them. And if just one of those is successful, then the Democrats will have control of the state Senate.
But Paul Soglin, you're the mayor of Madison, but I take it that Wisconsin is a reasonably sophisticated state, isn't it, politically? It has a storied history with Robert La Follette, et cetera. Surely, if the Republicans have already tried...
You're being very kind. We're a sophisticated state, but we're also a very erratic state.
Uh-huh.
I mean, after all, we're the state that, after the La Follettes, we did bring the country Senator Joseph McCarthy. We are the state that, on the one hand, was the birthplace of public employee unions, and now we're the first place to just totally gut them.
Well, I was going to suggest, though, that this spoiler idea of running Republicans in Democratic primaries, wolves in sheep's clothing, if you will, surely people know who they are, don't they?
They do, but it disrupts the system.
Uh-huh.
It adds cost to it. And don't forget, we've overlooked one of the most important elements in the so-called deregulated environment that these Republicans brought, and that is the new voter identification law, which is akin to the old poll taxes, which is specifically designed to tie up the polls and lower the outcomes. And, of course, the highest turnouts in the state are in Madison and Milwaukee, both Democratic Party strongholds.
And they've already been successful in that.
They've already been successful in that. We've already seen the impact of what they've done in a couple of special elections here in the state. These folks who brought us the new voter ID law, these folks who claim they believe in less government efficiency and everything else, it is going to cost the city of Madison alone over $300,000 next fall. Fall and spring, to administer elections simply because of the chaos, the confusion of the new process that was instituted with the voter ID law.
Well, just in closing, Paul Soglin, we, of course, outside of your state, a lot of Americans were amused by the prank phone call from the phony David Koch to Governor Walker, where he was both gullible and voluble. He essentially laid out his whole strategy, how he talks to Ohio Governor John Kasich, almost, he said, daily. And you get the impression that this is an orchestrated campaign that in part is funded by the Kochs through this group called ALEC that they operate, et cetera.
Right.
So did the people of Wisconsin, were they amused or embarrassed by that? I mean, and also, just I'm trying to figure out why it is that if a governor is fighting his recall effort by talking about jobs, and the first thing that's on the agenda is to bring about abstinence only in education in schools, is he a part of that kind of Christian right? Where is he in the lexicon of Republican right-wing politics?
He's as conservative a governor as we've ever had. And I guess we would be a little hard-pressed to find one here in the country further to his right. You know, it's a good question. I wonder how he stands on the theory of evolution now that you mention all of this. But in terms of educational theory and practice, in terms of science, in terms of modern technology, really nothing is standing in the way of their conservative agenda. I mean, we are one of the two states that returned almost $1 billion to the federal government because we didn't want high-speed rail. And that was something that the business community, dominated by Republicans, supported.
That is incomprehensible.
Well, welcome to my world.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Mayor Skoglund.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Paul Skoglund, who is the current mayor of Madison. Originally, he was elected to the Madison City Council in 1968 while a graduate student. He was very active in Madison's anti-war protests, chronicled in David Moranis' best-selling book, They Marched Into Sunlight. He served three terms as the city's mayor, starting in 1973 and another three terms in the 1990s, and is now back as mayor of Madison. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time was